Failing does not identify you as a failure. It's not your identity. If you're human, you've failed. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. But since we've all failed, we all mess up, we all sin, we all miss it, it's so important to understand there is a remedy for that. I remember a story I read years ago of a parliament of religion that was being held. This was in the late 1800s, mid-1890s actually. It was being held in Chicago, Illinois. They had, I think it was the top 10 prominent religions of the world that were coming together in a convocation, and they were talking about all kinds of things. In the middle of that, there was a preacher by the name of Reverend Joseph Cook. And so when he had an opportunity to speak to all these gathered religions of the world, he said, "There is a woman here. She has blood on her hands. It's the blood of murder. How can you help her? What do you have that will remove the stain of even the guilt of murder from her soul?" Silence ruled during the following moments of that statement. Then he said, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." You see, one of the primary virtues and one of the strongest beliefs of believers in Jesus Christ is that we can be forgiven. Forgiveness. It was just a few years back, one of the, quote, well-known humanists, just came out right and said, "I envy you Christians because you have an answer for your sins. You have someone to forgive your sins and I don't." Every human heart stained by the guilt of sin, deep within desires for that to be removed. To have that guilt removed, that shame removed, that darkness, that blackness, that sometimes terrifying, foreboding, fear that I'm not right and I can't help myself. And Jesus Christ is the answer. And forgiveness found in Him is the answer. Now, having said that, and I believe all that, sitting here this morning, more than likely, there's someone, and your heart is hurting, you're aching in your soul, and perhaps for quite some time, you have just longed to hear that someone you love say three simple words: "Please forgive me." Maybe, you know, when's the day going to come when they acknowledge they've hurt me? When there's that admittance that I failed you, that I'm sorry for what I've done. And there, you may be longing to hear that this morning. If he or she would just say, "Please forgive me." If they could just own up. Confess, repent, acknowledge, "Please forgive me." Well, may I say to you, if that's you this morning and you're waiting on that person to come to you and say, "Please forgive me," that may or may not ever happen. And there's some things you can do. You can begin praying for them. But be sure that you guard your own heart Because sometimes that waiting, that desire, when are they going to ask for forgiveness? When are they going to acknowledge they've hurt me? That can begin to fester, and the next thing you know, you have a hardness of heart. That even when that, if it were to come, and when it comes, it may not do for you what you think it will. Today, I just want to talk about three life-changing words. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. It's amazing. Some marriages fail because a spouse won't utter these three simple words. Please forgive me. Of course, I'm talking about in humility and sincerity. Please forgive me. Sometimes families are torn apart because somewhere in the mix, somebody can't get the courage, step over the stubbornness, and say, please forgive me. And there are times when friends who have been friends for years part companies and go their way because one or both of them can't utter these three simple words, please forgive me. These three words spoken from an humbled heart, a sincere heart, are extremely powerful. And yet, really, it's quite amazing how much hurt we will suffer, what price we will pay, what distance we will create, and what pain we will endure rather than say, please forgive me. We can be skilled at justifying why we've done what we've done. And as I mentioned, we can be proud and stubborn and refuse to acknowledge. Let's just go on, just forget it. When yet, what could change things? Shift the atmosphere in your marriage. Shift the atmosphere where you work, in your home. Are these three simple, life-changing words? Please forgive me. Now, God's Word is not silent when it comes to the matter of you and I forgiving one another. Now, there's numbers of Scriptures. Let's look at a few. This is following the Lord's Prayer where we're taught by our Lord and Savior Jesus, Father, forgive me my sins as I forgive those who trespass against me. Notice, Lord, please forgive me. And Lord, I'm going to forgive others. Both sides are involved there. I'm asking for forgiveness, but I'm also willing to give forgiveness. Jesus follows the Lord's Prayer with this statement. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But in contrast, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now notice, this is about your fellowship, your relationship. Forgive me my trespasses, Father, as I forgive those who trespass against me. And Jesus goes on to say, not much need to pray that first part if you're not willing to do that second part. If you forgive others, I'll forgive you. If you don't forgive others, then you won't experience the joy of my forgiveness. When you put all that together, it just tells us our heart better be in the right place when it comes to forgiveness. Well, I've forgiven him. I really have. And I've forgiven her. I really have. Or I've forgiven them. Whoever, whatever, whenever. It might have happened who it was. If we say, well, I've forgiven them, but then we're still throwing knives and we're still word cursing them. and we're still harboring bitterness, we're just mouthing empty words. But we're starting here at the most important thing. For things to be right here, they need to be right here. For those of you who may be listening later, if things are right with God, then they can be right with each other. If they're not right with God, they're not going to be right with others. We're our best selves when things are right with God. So, please forgive me. Look at this scripture. Jesus again. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. We're more likely to be judgmental toward people if we're carrying an offense toward them. Unforgiveness. Just observe your own life. I've observed this in my own life. I mean, it's just true. If you're kind of offended at someone, you're going to be more likely to be judgmental toward them. Jesus said, judge not that you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. That just goes along with we're going to reap what we sow. Please forgive me. Three life-changing words. And then even our scripture memory that we're going to memorize this month. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Look at what Jesus went through and endured to bear our sins and release us from the guilt of those sins and shield us from God's wrath for those sins. And then in addition, also give us His righteousness. That's the riches of God's grace. God has lavished His grace upon us through His forgiveness. So if we are a people of grace, there's going to be a place in our heart where we can forgive even the deepest hurts we've gone through. And listen, there have been some people who have been deeply hurt. Just 2 or 3 months ago, right here on a Saturday morning, I was praying for a dear woman. She's since gone to be with the Lord. She was a 7-year-old girl in the Nazi concentration camp at Dachau, Germany. She was beaten by the guards and couldn't hear out of one ear because of it. That's hard to let go of. That'd be hard to forgive. And some of you have gone through some very painful things. And this message is about forgiveness, but also about us taking the steps we should take when we need to be forgiven. Both sides. You know, please forgive me. The desire is to hear, I forgive you. When I was a little boy, 4 years old, I know I was about four. That's about as far back as I can remember fairly clearly some things. Because I knew the house we were living in. And I remember we had gone up the hill to my aunt's house. And I'd been playing. And my uncle, he worked out of town. He was all the time buying his grandchildren toys and stuff, and while I was there was this neat little comb. It unfolded like a knife, but it was a comb, and I just thought, that is the neatest thing, and I played with it. Well, when we left, I stuck it in my pocket, and we went down to the house. I wasn't there long, and my mom saw me playing with that knife. She said, where did you get that? And I said, well, you know, I told her, you took that comb. I dropped my head, yeah. And she proceeded to give me some words about that. Took me by the hand, said, you're coming with me, and you are going to tell them what you've done, and you're going to ask your aunt to forgive you. And so it was probably 200 feet up this little river stone gravel driveway. Oh, it seems like we were climbing Mount Everest. Mama was leading me up that hill. We walked up to that big old house. I remember it was such a big house to me as a 4-year-old. And that big old door, She knocked on that door, then she stepped back and she pushed me forward. And she stepped back still, like this. And I heard footsteps coming. And that big old door, it opened up. And I looked up and there was my Aunt Lexi. And she looked down at me. And when she looked down, I dropped my head and I held up that comb. And I said, "I took it. Please forgive me." My Aunt Lexi, she reached out and she took that comb. She didn't say anything for a moment or two. I realized now she understood what my mama was doing. So she went down on her knees. She took my hands. And she simply said, "I forgive you. It's all right. Come here." And she gave me a big hug. And that hug hurt good, if you know what I mean. You see, I was just 4. My conscience is being formed. And my mama realized, you need to learn this lesson now. You're accountable and responsible, and what you did is wrong. It's so hard. And sometimes the older we get, the harder it can become to say, "I was wrong. I hurt you. I did you wrong. Please forgive me." Except you become as little children. You parents do that, don't you? Tell them you're sorry. Tell them. "I'm not going to tell them." Well, your backside's going to be burning if you don't. Why? Why do that? Because you're training a child in the way they need to go. Spare the rod, spoil the child. And these kinds of lessons are necessary when you're 4, when you're 24, 44, and 84. "I was wrong. Please forgive me. I hurt you. Please forgive me." We need to learn to do that because the Scripture says we have to be good forgivers. And honestly, we're not fully living out the forgiveness that we've been freely given by God if we're not good forgivers. Something's not, you know, maybe we need a deeper revelation of what He's done for us. Or maybe we need a deeper degree of the fear of God and our accountability to Him, so that we'll do better by them. It's important. And by the way, when we are asking for forgiveness, be sincere and honest. That's important. Also, be specific about what you did wrong. "I'm sorry. I shouldn't have called you a yellow-bellied, sap-sucking, you know." Be specific. What you're doing when you do that, you're saying, "I know that when I said that, I know when I did that, or I know when I lied to you about that." You're letting them know, I know what the offense was, and I want you to forgive me. Take responsibility for it. Like, "Well, I'm sorry I hurt you, but you remember the year before last you said those things to me, and you remember when we were in third grade." Don't do that. That's nullifying. Nullifying your responsibility. That's justifying your actions. "I wouldn't have done it if you hadn't been such a jerk. I wouldn't have been a jerk." You know, I tell you, that will not work when we stand before God. So, take responsibility for your actions. Express your remorse and ask for forgiveness. And then, regardless of their response, this is very important. Regardless of how they respond, the goal is that you'll hear, "You're forgiven. I forgive you." Now, that doesn't always mean that there can be reconciliation. Sometimes things blow up and somebody can forgive you, but they're not ready to be best friends again. It may be they can't be best friends again, depending on the nature of what we're talking about. But regardless of how they respond, you have to be patient. "Forgive me for being a jerk." "I'm not forgiving you." And then you decide, "Well, I'll just be a jerk again." You know, No, that means it's not true repentance. Repentance means change. Making sense? Has there ever been a time in your life when you've had to go to someone and ask them to forgive you? Now, I must say, as your pastor, if there hasn't been, that causes me a certain measure of grave concern. Maybe there's someone now, and there's a long overdue, please forgive me. Well, I can't do that. The person that I would need to say that to, they've died. Or I don't even know who they were, because we were at Walmart and they were about to buy that teddy bear I wanted for my grandchild, and I let them have, you know. Or, well, I don't even know where they live anymore. I don't even know if they're living. Well, you can still get along with God just as if that person was there. And Lord, say, I know you know where they are, but Lord, here's how I'm feeling about that. I'm deeply sorry. And I regret what I've done. And I wish I could take it back. Please forgive me. Now, I'm going to spend the rest of this message just going through a little bullet list of why it's important for us to seek out forgiveness and to give forgiveness. Okay? Let's talk about why that's important. And I've already put the big cornerstone in place. And we'll see that in the very first one. And that's simply, it's a choice and a command. That's where you have to start. Let me hit the last part of that. We've already seen it's a command in Scripture. Jot down Ephesians 4:32. Paul wrote and said, forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You see, Father, if He looks at our sins, then He looks at those stripes on His Son, those scars, so to speak, on His Son. We are forgiven because of what Jesus Christ did for us. God is holy, God is just, God is love, God is merciful. It's His mercy and His kindness and His love that He sent His Son to die for us. And so we're accepted by God because Jesus is. We are in Christ. Our acceptance is based on His righteousness, but we get all the benefits of His righteousness. So, simply put, we get all the good stuff, and Jesus was willing to take all the bad stuff. And we're all right with that, aren't we? Amen. But what about when somebody comes to you that's done the bad stuff? Can you give them some of the good stuff in you and leave the rest at the cross? It's a command. Forgiveness is non-optional if you want to be in a right relationship with God. It is not an option. But it is a choice. You can choose to not obey God's word. You can choose to harbor unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment, hatred, hostility. And by the way, sometimes we're talking about forgiving someone else who's hurt us, whether we know them or not. Sometimes we may be talking about forgiving ourselves. I've gone through that before where I'm willing to forgive anything anybody's done to me, but I'm not willing to forgive myself. And the Lord had to rebuke me about, so you're raising your standard above mine, huh? And at the bottom of that is just pride. I can't believe I did this. But repentance is acknowledge, yes, I did this. And also to be willing to forgive yourself this morning. Forgive yourself. That's the choice you can make. And sometimes we go through things in life and we may clench our fist and even shake our finger toward God Himself. And you know what? He can handle that. He knows we're frail. He knows our frame. But what happens is there will come a time when your faith in everything, you'll come to the Lord. And sometimes this happens in our grief. Why did this happen? I can't believe it. God, why did you? And all those questions, but the Lord can handle that. And He loves you. And He'll patiently walk through that with you. But don't visit that long term, because it will not help you. God is good. He is the kindest person you would ever meet. And sometimes we deliver goods to His doorstep that should be delivered to the devil's doorstep, or the doorstep of the curse, or the doorstep that we live in a fallen world, imperfect people, imperfect thing. You know, that's a broad thing. But forgiveness is a choice. You can choose not to, but there's consequences for doing that. Or you can choose to forgive, and there's blessings that will come. Second thing, it's not always easy. You know when it's usually the hardest? When it's the people closest to you. Peter came to Jesus. Lord Jesus, how often should I forgive my brother who sinned against me? And Peter's thinking, you know, I'm going to really be spiritual. 7 times? Jesus said, no, 7 times 70. But it's interesting when Peter said, how often, when a brother sins. You see, that's usually when it hurts the deepest. Someone that you know, a relative, a spouse, a parent, a brother, a sister, a close friend, a fellow church member. Sometimes it hurts more because it's someone you have a close relationship with. Because you love them. Because you care. It intensifies the hurt. So it's not always easy, but it is always best. Number three, it's not condoning sin. You know, sometimes they say, well, how can I forgive them? You know what they did? You are not condoning what was done to you. You are not volunteering to be a doormat so that it can be repeatedly done again. Forgiveness doesn't mean you condone the sin. It means by the grace of God, even though that sin or that wrong has occurred, and even though you hurt and it's very troublesome for you, that you realize that as a believer in Jesus Christ, God will give you the grace to do what God's Word says to do. And so you can choose to forgive. And the fact that it's a choice means it's not a feeling. The choice, you know, if you let your choice be fueled by how you feel, you might be looking for a shotgun instead of praying a prayer of forgiveness. You know what I mean? No, it's not feelings, it's by faith. I'm going to do what God's Word says. But then when you do that, then the fruit of the Spirit will begin to breathe on that choice. And there can be peace again and joy and so forth. It's not condoning sin. Just like when Jesus says to bless those that curse you, He's not saying, oh Lord, bless them, help them to curse me more. You know, help them to keep committing that sin more. No, when you bless someone, what you're saying is, I pray that God's grace would come upon your life and enable you to live the life God wants for you. To do life the way God wants you to do life. That's what it means when you're speaking blessing. You're releasing good and not evil. And often you're releasing good in the face of evil. And I need to add this. Whether or not someone asks you to forgive them is not a condition for you to forgive them. Truly, if someone comes and says, please forgive me, the truth is, the correct answer should be, yes, I will say to your face, I have forgiven you. I've done that a while back. I hold no ought against you. So it's not condoning sin. Fourthly, Forgiveness frees us from the past. I was having a conversation with someone else in ministry recently, and we were talking about this, and this came up, and we agreed that through the years of our ministry, the number one thing that seems like has become a hindrance, a roadblock in a person's walk with the Lord is unforgiveness. Probably more than anything else, being bitter. In other words, unforgiveness. Because if you harbor unforgiveness a while, it'll go sour on you. It'll ferment. It'll ferment into bitterness and resentment. So, but when we forgive, we're free from the past. We're not tied to those words where we're hearing them over and over and over again. And every time we think of that person, we hear those words. Or we think about that event. We think about what happened. Or when we see someone or see a group or hear a name, all those emotions and pain don't just keep rolling over in us. When we forgive, again, when we step in by faith and do what God says, then the Holy Spirit brings grace and begins to breathe on us. And all of a sudden, that fruit of the Spirit begins to come in there and replace that. And when we see that person, we may remember. Some people will say, when you've really forgiven, you won't remember it. I believe the Apostle Paul walked in a high level of Christianity, spirituality. But when he was writing to young Timothy, he reminded him of how some of these guys had treated him when he was there. Now, he's doing that to help Timothy, to protect Timothy, and to share wise counsel with Timothy. You know, you remember Diotrephes. You remember. And he would name their names. So you remember what they did to me. Now, I don't think Paul was coming from a place of bitterness. It's not that he had forgotten it completely, but probably by observation and testimony, he was aware that there had been no repentance, and Timothy needed to be aware of that and be careful. It's a different thing. I'm talking about the remembering and rehearsing and nursing the grudge so that it just gets a stronger and stronger and stronger grip on you and holds you hostage. We can be hostage by those things that have happened. You can be held hostage by your past failure. You can be held hostage by your past hurt or offense that someone committed against you. So, forgiving will free you from that. Forgiveness is like a key to a prison door. And when you use it, that prison door is open and you can come out and be free again. Number five, forgiveness brings healing, peace, and restoration. There are so many relationships that can be restored and reconciliation that can take place by forgiveness. Now, some can't. The reconciliation may not can take place, but there still can be restoration. That usually requires both parties. So when someone is approaching you and saying, please forgive me, that can be an opportunity for you to recognize there can be restoration here. Now, it may not necessarily be to the same level, but, you know, hey, we can part friends. Or we can walk away and not be throwing rocks at each other anymore. Or we can walk away and not carry this hostility any longer. Forgiveness, when it steps in there, it does stuff like that for us. Healing. Peace. How many people have not had peace in years because they've never got over a wrong committed against them? Oh, dear friend, my heart hurts for you this morning because there's so many people that are in that place or in that situation needlessly. Whether the other person ever acknowledges wrong or not, you can still have what's right in your life. You can have peace that passes understanding. You can lay your head on your pillow at night and not have to be concerned about that thing that happened so long ago. There is healing. Doctors will even tell us that a bone broken that's properly healed is stronger than it was before. And that brings us to this one. Forgiveness turns stumbling blocks into stepping stones. Who would think that God could use something that hurt you so deeply? I'm not saying that God caused it. Don't go there. Don't misunderstand the preacher. But isn't it amazing how God can take that thing that has hurt you so deeply, when you respond right and you get freed up from it and you get your peace restored and the joy of the Lord on you, the next thing you know, there's somebody that's in that same situation and you can tell them about how God saw you through it and what ministered to you and a truth you found, and you can become a life giver to them in their time of need. God can turn what was your stumbling block you thought that finished it, that life was over, He can turn that into a stepping stone. Most of our life experience is based on what we've learned from our mess-ups. And listen, the moment we have an humble heart about something we've done and want to do the right thing, grace comes a calling. God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud, the stubborn. Oh, listen, grace will stay in the waiting room when pride and stubbornness is in charge, but when humility rises up and starts to take over, grace puts on her Converse sneakers and comes a racing towards you. That's the way God is. Why live bound? Why live troubled when knowing that God, I just don't see how God could do that. Well, of course you can't. You're not God. You leave that figuring it out and getting it done part to Him. Just humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and He will exalt you in due time. Last thing. Forgiveness is not a one-stop practice. You say, well, I've forgiven them. Now I'm struggling again. Go at her again. Do it again. Well, I've already forgiven them and now here they are again. Not seven times, Peter, but 70 times seven. Again, don't be a doormat. I'm not saying that. But you have to all... Here's the principle. Why in the world 70 times seven? Because you must always keep your heart free of unforgiveness. No matter what's happening or who's doing it or how many times they've done it. That doesn't mean that you have to necessarily stay with them. It doesn't mean that you have to like it. It doesn't mean... sometimes you have to remove yourself from things. But you, more than anything, you have to keep your heart free from bitterness and unforgiveness. God is a God of abundant grace. So, in conclusion this morning, are you in need of forgiveness? Oh, preacher, I've gone so many times. I've made calls. I've wrote letters. I've knocked on the doors and they're just unwilling. Bless His name that you're doing what you need to do in those situations. You just keep trusting God. You keep praying and you keep doing the right thing. You keep praying for them. You just keep your heart on the right side of that line and don't allow what they're not doing to get you to begin doing things you shouldn't do again. You keep your heart in the right place. Paul said it this way in the book of Romans, as much as is possible, you live at peace with all men. On your side of the door, you keep as much as possible, you keep things in the right place. If the door is open and then if they start changing, you're ready. This is a very simple, basic, foundational teaching from God's Word this morning. And the Lord really laid this on my heart the last couple of days particularly. I had already had something ready with a series I'd been on, but I just felt like, no, the Lord said, this is what I'm supposed to share today. And I believe there's a reason for that. This is a holiday weekend. Maybe you're going to be with some folks, and it'd be a good time to say, you know what, I just feel like things haven't been right for us. Please forgive me. And sometimes you may not know what you may or may not done, but you can always say, you know, I just don't feel like things are right. Please share with me if there's something I've done that hurts you, but I want things to be right. Are we good? Let's be people who excel in being able to forgive and to live in the place of forgiveness. We'll be the better for it. We'll represent Jesus better. And we'll be obeying God's Word and positioning ourselves for God's blessing. I want you to stand with me this morning. And again, I know forgiveness is not always easy, but it's always worth it. You will not regret taking a step of forgiveness. I want to ask you to bow your heads for a moment. Is there anyone that you need to ask to forgive you? Is there someone you need to say, please forgive me? Is the Holy Spirit bringing that to your attention? Then I encourage you just to have a yes in your heart and say, Lord, I'm going to do that. And I know you'll give me the wisdom, the right time, the right place, the right way. I'm going to do this. I'm committing to do this. It might be something you can do quickly, even here today, or before this day closes somewhere. Second question. Is there someone you need to forgive? Whether they've asked for it or not, have you forgiven them? Maybe you struggle. It's like, well, they're just getting blessed, and I know what they did to me. No, don't play that game with the enemy. Those thoughts are not the Lord's. The Lord's is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Lord's is, even as I've forgiven you for Christ's sake, you forgive them. That's the words of the Lord. And while we're praying in the spirit of prayer, our prayer team members that are assigned to be here in the altar this morning, I ask you to come forward. They or any of our staff leaders that feel they need to be here, you come. Now, this message is basically between you and the Lord, maybe you and someone else. You need to act on that. But there could be a lot of other needs here this morning. Maybe you've never experienced the redemptive forgiveness of God. Maybe you've never repented to God. You've never asked God to forgive you. He will forgive you today for Christ's sake. Just as we confess as believers this morning, we believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and God raised Him from the dead, and we confess Him as Lord. If you want to ask God to forgive you of your sins and get right with Him this morning, I want to ask you to come forward and let someone up here pray with you. If you don't feel like you have time to do that, then make a note on that card and put it in the offering place so we can get in touch with you and we can pray with you. The goal is for decisions to be made. Maybe you need prayer for healing this morning. Maybe you're bearing a burden. And probably a number here, you're just going through tough times. We believe that when we pray for each other, there's a grace and things happen. So we invite you just to come. We're going to begin to worship. And I'm going to release you in just a moment. But as we begin to sing, step out from where you are and make your way to the front right now. There'll be someone here to pray with you. Come, in Jesus' name, come.
And all to Jesus I surrender all. To Him I freely give. And I
will you give it to Him this morning, anyone? Step out from where you are.
Trust in me.
any need of prayer you may have. Spoken to someone who really is struggling with that issue of forgiving God. And come and receive prayer about that. They're going to remain to be in this altar area. And you feel free to come up. Before you go, I pray you have a wonderful holiday weekend. Would you just hold your hands like this for a moment? May the grace of God be poured out upon you as you humble your heart before Him. May the Spirit of God come upon you and fill you anew and afresh this morning. May the fruit of the Holy Spirit be born in your life. May you shine forth with His joy, share His love, and know His peace. May the angels of God surround you and yours about to protect you, to minister to you. And may the promises of God be treasured in your heart this week. And may you hide His word in your heart and speak it out your mouth. You are a witness to Jesus Christ. He desires to use you. You are under His command to go forth and share the gospel. So in Jesus' name, go forth and change the world in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a hand this morning. Thank you for being here. God bless you all. This altar remains open.